now your presence be here, Lord, that you open up your word to your people, Father God, that we might leave here with life and life more abundant. Let your word do its work, and we ask you this in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Many times at this church we play that song, how many times must I prove my love for you? And it's true, how many times does God have to do something for us? And he shows us his love and his faithfulness, and oftentimes it's so very little obedience out of his children. There are some that truly love the Lord, and all truth give everything to the Lord. But this text I'm going to read this morning, just a little bit, we're not going to stay in Isaiah for a minute, just while I read the scripture, is where the children of God were back then, and where I believe the children of God are now. I always say it, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel are always doing the same things, getting blessed and getting back into trouble. Getting blessed and getting back into trouble. But we're going to look at the message that was given to them, and then we're going to look at the message that Jesus Christ gave to us. And God is not so concerned with what we've been through and how we got to where we are. But he will give us a word to get us to where we need to be. He will give us a word to get us to where we need to be. In Isaiah chapter 30, we find Judah at the peak of her deception, at the peak of her rebelliousness. And Isaiah 30:9 reads this, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us the right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Now, this is what the church wanted to hear from the pulpit. They didn't want to hear the word of the Lord. They didn't want to hear the word of God. They didn't want to hear, thus saith the Lord. They didn't want to hear a word that would cause them to feel bad, a word that would cause them to not feel comfortable. They didn't want the word to make them want to go and do something or change their ways. They just wanted to hear false things. They had no desire for the truth. They had no desire for the way of righteousness. They were happy in their sins. Early in the chapter it says they had covered themselves with a covering, but not of my spirit, but of their selves, that they can add sin upon sin. And the Lord replies in verse 11, says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us, is what they're asking. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, stay thereon. So God lets them. He lets them hear their smooth things. He lets them go their own way. And in the end, destruction, utter destruction, comes upon them. Church, we are in the last days. It's been said for 2,000 years that we're in the last days. They are saying it's the last days 10 years ago. They are saying it's the last days 50 years ago. Take a good look around you. We're in the last days. The scripture is being fulfilled. The love of many will wax cold, and they'll have no desire. No desire for the things of God, no desire for the word of God, no desire for the things that God would have his children to do. And it's for the hardest of their hearts that the church is where it is. But this message is not for the church, it's for us, amen, the church that is here. And with the understanding that God's people, people that have been delivered, can get to the point where they no longer want to hear the word of God, the same can happen for you and me. We're not above. We are not above backsliding. We're not above going into false doctrine. We're not above becoming lazy and complacent. The only thing that we can hope for is that we hear the clear word of God and at all times embrace the word of God. This morning, I'll be ministering a message simply called "Turn Around." Turn around. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 1. In verse 15, this is where we're taking our text from this morning. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. It's on page 731 of your Bibles. How many of y'all know what Jesus' first message was? How many know what the very first message that Jesus ever preached was? Anybody? The very first message that Jesus preached when he began his ministry was Repent ye. Repent ye. Was his very first sermon. He didn't tell him, saying, oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't say, I'm here to die for your sins. I'm here to give you new life. He didn't say, I'm here to bless you. He didn't say, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. As I said earlier, God's not concerned with how we got to where we are. He is concerned, and he has the word to give us to get us to where we need to be. And the word that God gave his people, the word that God gave through Christ, his first word was repent. He didn't want to hear your excuses. He didn't want to hear why you are, why the way you are. He didn't want to hear all your life's troubles that brought you to the point to where you are today. His word was the same then today, and it is the same then as it was and is today. Repent ye. God knows that we need to repent. That word means to turn around. That word means to be sorry, to have a change of mind, to think about things differently, to reconsider. So we find in the Word of God this morning that the first word that Jesus preached was repent ye. And we're going to read the text this morning, and then we'll go in a little bit of depth here. Praise the Lord. And Mark chapter 1 and verse 10 says this, and saying, Jesus speaking, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when they had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway when he called them, they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. Amen. So we learned what happens. And I'll say this one more time. God is not concerned with how you got to where you are today. He's giving a word to get you to where you need to be. I cannot tell you how many times I've been driving, going to various places, whether it be to Washington or New York or to New Jersey or Baton Rouge, that in my driving, as many times as I've gone down the road, I still make a mistake. I still make a mistake and I go the wrong way. I might miss the exit, might miss a turn. At some point, I go the wrong way. And it's at that point when I realize that I have made a mistake that I have to have a change of mind. I have to think to myself, well, the only way that I'm going to get on the right path is by turning around. I can't hope to keep going down the wrong way and hope to end up at the destination to where I want to be at. I have to have a change in mind. I have to have a change in course. And we have to realize that sometimes we need to look at our spiritual condition. Are we still heading to heaven like we say we're going? We all say we're going to heaven, but if there are things that are distracting you or causing you to go off the path, it is time to repent ye to get back on the right path, amen. It is time to get back on the right path. There's no wrong way that's going to lead to the right way. Amen. You can't go down the wrong way and eventually think, hey, it's going to get me to where I'm supposed to be. It does not work that way. You have to repent. You have to have a change of mind. You have to realize that what you're doing or where you're going is not going to get you to where you need to be. And though I don't like turning around, no one likes turning around. No one likes turning around, especially when they've known they've gone a very long way out of the right way. It's a hard thing to do. You ever seen a semi turn around on a two-way street? It takes a lot of effort. It's not something that is easy. But nevertheless, if you want to go to heaven, you have to go down the right way. Jesus made it clear. He said, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few be there to find it. Few are willing to go down the narrow way. Few are willing to lay aside everything and just follow Jesus with everything. But there are many that think there's multiple ways. There's many that think that into heaven, oh, I can just live my life and do what I want to do and praise the Lord. The Lord knows me. The Lord knows my heart, and he does know your heart. It's exceedingly wicked. Out of it proceeded murders, adulteries, fornications, lusts. He knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows what your real will is, and he knows what your spoken will is. We must repent ye therefore. Why does Jesus give us this message? Why is this his first message? Remember, before Jesus came, there were approximately 400 years of silence when there wasn't a prophet, when there wasn't a spoken word, people just living to the fullness of their flesh. So Jesus comes on the scene knowing that the church is in utter chaos, knowing that they're in a constant judgment, knowing that destruction is at hand, and he says, turn around. Look at what you're doing. Look at where you're going. He doesn't say repent of a sin. He doesn't say here repent ye therefore of lying or of adultery or of having a foul mouth. He never says repent of a particular sin. You know why? You know why Jesus never says repent of a particular sin? You never find him saying, repent you of lying. Repent you of stealing. But it's repent you, your whole self is wrong. It's not a simple action or something that you do that is wrong. The entirety of humanity was wrong. The entirety of humanity had to realize that they were wrong. It wasn't a particular act. It was entire life that has to be given up. When you come to Jesus, you can't hold on to the things that you used to have. You can't hold on to your old ideas in your own way. You have to give them up. Who cares if you were born a Jew? You have to be born again. And the only way to be born again is to give it all up and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins and the things that I've done. I'm putting you first in my life, and please lead me the right way. So Jesus says, repent ye. Why did he say repent ye? Because the kingdom of God was at hand. The scripture says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, meaning that God is getting ready to establish his kingdom on earth. And those that aren't ready will be cast out. And those that are ready will enter in. If you know you have a guest coming to your house at 5 o'clock and your house is dirty, how many of y'all won't turn around and clean it up? If you know that God Almighty is going to come walking through this house at any time, how many of y'all won't clean it up? Get ready. God is coming. Get ready, Jesus says. God is coming. Turn around. Get ready for the Lord. Otherwise, he will come upon you suddenly. It will come upon you when you're not aware. It will come upon you in the hour that you think not. So the Lord says, get ready. God is coming. Every single prophecy has been fulfilled because I am the fulfillment of prophecy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that Isaiah said, everything that Ezekiel said, everything that Jeremiah said, everything that all the other prophets said, I am the fulfillment of Scripture. I am the proof that all things have come to the appointed time, and it is time to get ready. I am the last sign that you will see until the Lord returns. Get ready. Turn around. Look at your life and make sure that it's right.
Amen.
That's what he is saying.
Yes.
I'm the last sign. Time is fulfilled. I am the time. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The sun sets and rises upon my command. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth, because God Almighty is coming back. If you're not right with God, you're going to be unright with him for eternity. So he says, repent ye, therefore. I'm sick of hearing about your complaints. I'm telling you what to do. Turn around. You lost me a ways back.
Amen.
You lost me a ways back. It's time for you to turn around and get right. It's time for you to turn around and give your life to me. It's time for you to turn around and make your crooked path straight. It's time to turn around. So many people make the assumption that Jesus is with them, making an assumption that God is with them, making an assumption that they're putting the Lord first in their life, making an assumption that is wrong. Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, when he was 12 years old, they were on the way to the temple for the feast, and they thought the Lord was with them. They thought the Lord was with them. Their little 12-year-old boy, the Lord and little baby Jesus, they thought the Lord was with them. And as the scripture says, they went a good 2-day journey, I believe, before they realized, where's Jesus? They had left Jesus behind in Jerusalem. They had left the Lord behind. And when they realized it, what did they have to do? They had to turn around. They had to turn around and go back to where the Lord was. Don't expect the Lord to follow you wherever you go. The Lord expects you to follow Him wherever He leads you. Amen. Yet don't expect the Lord to follow you to wherever you want to go. The Lord expects and requires of you to follow Him wherever He commands you to go. Amen. So, the Word of God reads, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and what? Believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Believe in me. Because I am the gospel. I am the evangelia. I am the good news. Because before me you didn't have life. After me you'll have life more abundantly. I'm the good news. Before me you're unrighteous, but by my obedience you'll be made righteous. Before me you were dead. After me you'll be made alive. That's the good news. That's the gospel, amen. And here is the effect of a person that hears the word of God. Verse 16, and now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Now I want you to see what's happening. Little old Simon and Andrew were busy. They were clocked in. They were fishermen. And they were fishing. Amen. But when you have the call of God, when God speaks a word, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're in the middle of, the call of God is to have more importance than anything else. Now, Simon and Andrew, they didn't know Jesus per se. He had just begun his ministry. He hadn't performed any miracles, but when the Lord puts it in a person to believe, and when the Lord convicts, there's truth that follows. And now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting into a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They had to turn around. They had to realize that fishing and fish was okay, but when you can fish for souls, it's much better. They had to turn around, and it says they forsook. My. We need to forsake some things. That word forsook means to let it alone, to disregard, to leave it, to go away in order to go to another place. Meaning that they gave up their life because they saw a better life following Jesus. We need to forsake this world. We need to lay this world aside and follow Jesus. We need to lay our hopes, our desires, the things that keep us fishing for men instead of serving God aside. We need to lay those strong towers, the things that have such importance in our life, whether it be our family, whether it be our friends, whether it be our jobs, our 401k, those things are secondary to God's call. Amen.
Amen.
So they had to forsake some things. They lay down their nets. They let down their fishing garments. And instead of working for the world, they went and worked for the Lord. Amen. And when he had gone a little further, verse 19, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, you ever wonder? How come Jesus didn't call Zebedee? How come he didn't call the higher servants? Many are called, few are chosen. God chose these amongst the others for his own particular purpose. But nevertheless, they left their father, they left the higher servants, and they followed Jesus, not knowing what the end would be, not knowing what to expect, but because they heard, repent ye, they turned around and they followed. They had a change in mind. They looked to Jesus as a better thing than what they were doing. I can guarantee you, Jesus is a better thing than what you're doing. a better thing than what I'm doing. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher, for he is above, and we are from beneath. Amen. We need to repent and think differently. We serve an almighty God who has done more for us than we can ever do for him. He has done more for us than we can ever deserve. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness so that we can have a right understanding of who he is and turn to him. That's why he says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Turn your eyes upon me. Keep your mind on me, and I'll keep you in perfect peace, because those that love the Lord have these benefits. When you are following Jesus, don't you know by now that love, joy, peace, joy unspeakable, full of glory, is what follows. Sometimes when you follow a certain person, they have a certain type of pomp and a certain type of circumstance or a certain type of ability. If you're with a famous person, they get treated differently. Say you go to a restaurant and you're with Barack Obama. Don't you think you're going to get the best service there is because he's the President of the United States? Don't you think you get that protection of the bodyguards because you're with the President of the United States? How much pomp do you think the King of Kings, Lord of Lords has? Let me tell you, he's got angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. When he stands, all hail the Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is and forevermore shall be. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth move, mountains tremble, and a rock can cry out when the Lord is in the midst. Isn't that the company that you'd rather be with? Isn't he the popular crowd? Isn't he the one and the only king? We must repent because we think for some reason that our life is better than life more abundant. Why do people not come to church? Because they think their life is better than life more abundant. Why do people make excuses for God? Why they can't participate? Why they don't have a life with God? Because they think their life is better than life more abundant. They need to have a repent ye, a change of mind, because my Bible says that if you taste of him, you shall never hunger. They have to have a repent ye. They need to have a change of mind. Well, I don't need to come to church to... I don't need to come to church to have a walk with God. My walk with God is between me and him. It's between me and him. All the people in church is nothing but hypocrites. All they pass is all they want is money. All, that's all they want. Just my money, money. It's just, I don't need your church. And the same people that speak such foolishness need to have a repent ye. They need to have a change of mind. Look at what they're really doing. Look at the fruit of their life. Is it of God? Is it of righteousness? Is it the fruit that says, I am ready for the Lord to return? Or is it the fruit of the unwise virgins that got left behind? I would hate to stand before God and not make it. See, no preacher can tell you what to do to be saved. No preacher can give you the assurance that you're God's child. It's not just a prayer that you say. I don't have the Lamb's Book of Life. I can't tell you if it's written down here or not. I can't say, well, look, up there you are, right there, page 101. There's your name. I don't have that authority. I can't tell you if your name's been blotted out. I can't tell you if your name was ever in there. There's only one person that can do that, and he won't keep you in the dark. His name is Jesus. Is there any doubts whether you're going down the right way or not? Then you're going down the wrong way, because the right way, the Bible says, he'll confirm. The right way, you'll know, because you'll know, because you'll know. From glory to glory, from tribulation to trial, from trial to testimony, you'll know that it's the right way, amen. There are too many people that have gone down the broad way, and there are few that find this life, but there's always a repent ye. It's not too late. As long as you're living, it's not too late. But if we make the step, or if we make the mistake and go from this life to eternity without having our minds stayed on Jesus, then I can guarantee you're not prepared. We have to have a change of mind. See, somehow people forgot the hell is an existing place. Somehow people forgot the hell is real. Somehow my son has forgotten that as soon as I get down from this pulpit, he's getting his butt beat because he's running around like a maniac. He has forgotten the word that his father spoke to him a little bit ago. Sit down, or judgment will come. He thinks it's funny. Oh, my daddy loves me. God says, though you make your bed in hell, he'll be with you. Or if you exalt to heaven, he'll be with you. Just because he's God doesn't mean he's not judge. And though he is God, therefore he is judge. And as a judge, he can make a tough decision. But we make a decision so easy. I told you to accept my son, you chose to reject. That's an easy decision for the Lord to make. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Let's not give the devil an opportunity in our life. Let us lay down our nets. Let us lay down our families. Let us lay down anything that will prevent us from going forward with God. Amen. Amen. Because as Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is at hand. If you would stand this morning. I know it didn't keep you long. But the truth of the matter is, repent, ye. You got a problem in your life, repent. You know how you got that problem. You're doing something that ain't right. Repent. You wonder why God ain't blessing you? Repent. Something ain't right. When the Lord's coming, there's not always going to be everything great. There's always a cross. There's always a Gethsemane. But there's always the promise. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, you may come. If you need salvation, you may come. Don't go another day preaching us new things. But give your life to the Lord.